Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Pure Dog Talk is proudly sponsored by Trupanion. Trupanion provides medical insurance for pets, helping to cover the bills if your pet gets sick or injured. With Trupanion, your focus can be on doing what's best for your pet, not just what's most affordable. And Trupanion can pay your vet directly, so you don't have to wait for that reimbursement check. Holla! If you're a breeder, Trupanion has a program just for you. It lets you send your puppies to their new homes with a special offer to try out the insurance. You can learn more by clicking the link on my partner page, www.puredogtalk.com/partners. Don't forget to mention, Pure Dog Talk sent you. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and I am excited to have you guys join us. We have tonight, sort of from a vault, the Pure Dog Talk Friday Night Forum from the Rogue Valley Kennel Club in November of 2017. So a really great opportunity for folks to take a listen to some really, really important people in our sport talking in a panel discussion about the winning edge and what it takes to actually be successful with your show dog. And our panel members for this conversation are Rick Geschwinder. He's a multiple group judge, herding and working sort of primarily. Plaus Davern, she's a sporting group judge and hound breeds. You'll also remember, some of you that are longtime listeners will remember her conversation about Sussex Spaniels and also the interview we did about her search and rescue dog training establishment. And if you haven't listened, you should definitely take an opportunity to do so. We'll put some links in the show notes. And the third member of our panel is the inimitable Mr. Bill McFadden, professional handler. Multiple best in show winning handler for Westminster Kennel Club, and just really a legend in the sport in terms of his ability to get the best out of a dog. So I really hope you guys have an opportunity to enjoy this. I know I did. Anybody that's interested in having a Friday night forum or even a Saturday symposium at your dog show, shoot me an email, laura@puredogtalk.com, and we'll put something together for your guys. All right. Enjoy.
So we're going to talk tonight about the winning edge. Their job, these two guys, their job is not to find your diamond in the rough. Their job is to pick the best diamond of the gemstones that are brought to them. So if you bring them a rock without polishing it, they may not be so inclined or able to discover that there's a beautiful diamond underneath. So we have breeders, we have judges, we have handlers, and we have people who are going to help you with this. So I really hope you enjoy this opportunity to interact with some super smart people in our sport.
I just want to ask a couple questions here. How many people here are owner-handlers? Okay. Well, we have some that are owner-handlers, but also professionals. Okay. You guys show your own dogs. How long does a judge have in the ring with your dog? Anybody know?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay. Let me ask you a couple of questions. How many people here road work their dog? How many train them? You work them on happy legs. Clean their teeth. Grind their nails. Okay. How many people video their dogs while they're moving? This is some of the stuff that from judging, I see a lot of dogs that the people don't bother cleaning their teeth. They're not training their dogs. When you're paying $30 to any of your dog, and these people come into the ring, and they're taking their dogs down and back, and the mats are for the dogs. They're not for the people. The dogs go down the center of the mat. The people are on the outside edge. But you want to go down in a straight line. You want to come back in a straight line. I mean, unless you've got reasons that you don't want to go in the
straight
line.
Which they might notice.
Yes. And there are some times when you don't want them to move in a straight line.
And it's noted.
But the same thing, and as far as like moving, the correct speed, And this is where some of the videotaping stuff comes in.
Let education reign. It's fascinating what these different breeds have to offer. Learn about it and then present it appropriately. Will you always win? Heck no. Because we are a visual species and we are taken in, we're a predator. First and foremost, we are a hunting breed. Are we not?
Some of us more than others.
I know. But you know, I want to have a dog that if there's a Holocaust, they bring me food. I want a predator. But the thing is, we are predators, are absolutely motivated by emotion.
Good point.
Right? She just raised her dog. Right? So what I want you to think about when you're showing your breed is, what is a judge looking at? We're looking at motion. We're looking at you indicating what we should be looking at. And the guys that do it best are very good at being subtle about that. So if you're going to show your dog and make it shine, shine like a diamond, you have to recognize your dog's characteristics, which you should enhance. But also, what makes this twit in the middle of the ring go, huh? As I would say, you know, you're all handling the same product. When you're in the ring, it's 20 boxes of cornflakes. What makes your box better than others? And you have to think about that. If you have a dog that has a beautiful head, why would you not just momentarily, you know, touch the chin or touch an ear and the motion? I guarantee you, being a dog trainer is what I do for a living. The judge is going to look. You don't go. But you do something, just touching an ear or something, and I can't help. He can't help. He can't. None of you can help. So to me, that is it. That is a level of displaying your dog to its best advantage. You can't ever, don't ever believe that you can hide cow hocks from a judge. However, if your dog has every breed type, you can be forgiving about a dog that's moving away. A very, very wonderful dear friend, I was at a dog show, and my dog, what do you think of? It was a Scottish Greyhound, and she said, it's beautiful. It has all the breed type, all the door. And then the dog came moving towards us. And, oh, my goodness. And I'm looking at this dog, and then I look at Ginny. She'd never looked at that dog. She was just looking to see what I was seeing. And she said, I looked at it and she went, its front is not its fortune. So I learned a very important thing there, because even my dogs that sleep on my bed, I'm not perfect. But if dogs have lots and lots of good characteristics of a breed, then you can forgive them on something. So I'm not talking about showing your dog and moving in an arc towards me in the hope that I won't notice that it's crossing over in the front. I do. I'm not blind yet, so I can see that. But you would present that dog and recognize the qualities that it has, and if it has a beautiful top line, emphasize it. Because that will reiterate to me, yes, this is what the breed is all about. This is a hound that has to have curves. Yes, I recognize that. That's my advice, for what it's worth.
I agree with everything.
Do not pick up their hand.
So we're now in the dessert. So many things are going through my head, so I'll try to round out something. I think a mistake that a lot of people make, and I'm going to say it to everybody, because I still feel sometimes I rush because you feel like you're imposing on a judge's time. And you really, when you go in the ring, you need to take a deep breath and just own your time. You're employing them, Your entry fees are paying the judges, so don't be embarrassed or feel you have to rush because they want to get to lunch. Because that's when you do a bad job, is when you're rushing. So when I teach handling class, I tell my students, and really, most of them are really entry-level novices, but I always say, take a deep breath. When the judge tells you to move down and back, take a deep breath before you move. When you get to the end, take a deep breath so that you have a couple seconds for your brain to engage. And don't rush. Also, don't annoy. I've judged a little bit, nothing like these two, but I've judged enough that it's hard on your feet, it's hard on your back. If you have a headache, it's hard on your head. If you have a hangover, it's even harder.
What are you saying?
If a judge asks you to move slower. If they ask you to pre-bait your dog, pre-bait your dog. If they ruffle your dog's coat up, you know, obviously smooth it down, but don't be annoying like they just, actually I can't even say that honestly, because there's sometimes when you can get annoyed. But for the most part...
They just messed up the Bichon.
Right, I mean, for the most part, they're not doing it. It feels like a personal attack on your grooming maybe, but they're not really trying to. They're just trying to be
unless
thorough.
They go, really?
If they make a comment. So try not to annoy. Try to be ready. Realize that they may be hungry, tired, sleepy, horny, whatever. And try to fit in their parameters. But also, referring to the generic handling, so often, experts are showing to novices, which is really backwards, but it's happening more and more.
Right.
And it's frustrating. So own your expertise. You may not win under them, but don't be afraid to show your dog, your breed, the way it's supposed to be shown. Don't think, well, I saw them in the class before, they put up the dog with its tail over its back, even though the breed specifically says the tail is supposed to be never carried over their back. Don't succumb to just like, well, I really need this major, I'll just curve the tail over the back. You know, you have to own a little bit of the fact that you are actually educating a lot of judges while you're showing to them, because particularly judges that come into a different group from what they started in, they're learning, and it's a lifelong learning. You learn things all the time, and sometimes it may take you a long time to realize and have your light bulb moment about a breed, but you are the teacher. If that's your breed, speaking to breeder owner handlers, if that's your breed, present it the way it should be presented, the way you feel it should be presented. You don't have to be arrogant or, what's a good word?
Obnoxious.
But own it. You know, show it the way it's supposed to be shown, so that starts to help them develop a picture of how that breed should be presented. Be prepared. You know, there's always complaints about handlers winning too much, and I can guarantee you I don't have enough time to spend with each of my dogs compared to what an owner has with its one or two dogs that's at the show. So that's where you can be professionals, is just by being prepared, having your dog in condition, physically, mentally, emotionally.
Emotionally, definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even with training, you know, some dogs take a little bit more work than others. Some dogs are natural show dogs. Coming from terriers, I don't like dogs to be statues. I like, you know, to me, if they aren't four square, but it's in their attitude and in their temperament, I'd rather see the outline of the dog than have four legs screwed into where they're supposed to be and have no outline. So that's something to keep in mind, too. You know, some breeds, like a Doberman, you know, you train it to come back and step four square, arch their neck. They look so gorgeous. I wish they looked that gorgeous when they ran around the ring. But
yes.
There's
a bloodhound will do the same thing.
No. And perhaps.
It shouldn't.
Right.
It shouldn't.
So there's other things going around in my mind right now, but I need to take a sip of coffee.
Thank you, panelists.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. Yeah, I know, I promised I was never going to sing again. But I'm saying, our new audiobook is available now. Whoop, yeah. Pure Dog Talks, How to Stack Your Dog and Other Important Talks is a 2-CD set featuring early mentoring episodes from the podcast, tips, and previously unrecorded pep talks. This is a power-packed opportunity for folks who don't want to search our exhaustive 260-some-odd episode library for just the topic they're looking for. This 2-hour series is a great resource for breeders and mentors, 4-H leaders, anybody that's looking for a straight line trajectory from what kind of dog should I get to raising a show dog, how to stack and move with your dog, to counting championship points for your new dog. Super easy to purchase. Just drop PayPal $25 a book to Laura at puredogtalk.com and make sure audiobook is in the comments and that your mailing address is included. Because shipping is free, that's on me, and I'll have it to you in just a few days. Breeder and mentor bundles are available. I'll give you a 10% discount on 5 or more, and this is a very limited print run. So get your order in today. May not be here tomorrow.
Okay, so now would be a really great opportunity for if we have questions. So just a quick question, given that there's a lot of owner handlers here, and we are competing, whether it's directly or indirectly with a professional handler, how would you recommend owner handlers not get burned out or not get discouraged or disappointed with the thing, even though, you know, you can go and you can have your conditioning, your presentation, your quality dog? What's your recommendation? Okay, I think that's actually really, really good.
That's a great
question. And so if anybody back here didn't hear it, the question is, for our panelists, how does an owner handler not get discouraged, not get frustrated when they put in their time and they have the quality dog and they still get beat? How do you not get discouraged?
When it comes to judging, and as an owner handler,
we both helped you with that, right?
No, what I think is watch the judges. And I know for me, this is what I tell people. If you watch me long enough and I have a big enough entry, you will see some type of consistency. People might not agree with this consistency. They might not like it. But the intelligent people will figure out what I like and they'll come back and show that to me. You can take a dog to a certain judge and he might not like that type of dog. And no matter how many times you're going to take that dog to him, if he's something better that he likes that's more his type in the ring, that's what he's going to go with. So you have to be able to watch judges and see what they're doing within that, especially if it's just one breed. Years ago, I used to keep a book on all the judges, what judge liked what. And I had this one dog, a guy brought to me that I was going to show, and he laughed at me because I was going to be showing his dog. Well, it was like, I think, 8 weeks later, this little Bouvier that I was showing ended up going green from the classes over his special. But the dog didn't move better than his, but it was a terrier judge. And the judge liked the coat, and the coat was better than the other dog, and that's why he went with it. And this is why I showed the dog to him. So you have to know by watching it, and it can be in different breeds, it can be in your breed, but keep track of what they do and what they're going with. Because most, like I said, you're going to go with what you like. Is it sometimes maybe it's not correct? And when, especially like they're talking about judges, when they're coming in the new breeds, it takes you a while to become comfortable with that breed. And you can judge it one time, and maybe 6 months later you might have a different entry in there, and you feel more comfortable and you're more familiar with the breed. So even when they're new with the breed, if they're permanent on that, it might take them a little while longer. You can take all the classes you want, study all you want, but you have to get in there and judge the breeds to become familiar with them.
And I'm gonna pass it back down, but I'm gonna ask both Klaus, who handled professionally, and Bill to speak to the fact that is a fact that part of why professional handlers have something of an edge is they show more dogs to more people and learn more. If you have one dog, that's the only dog you have. You don't have the option of showing them something they like better. So maybe you could speak to that.
Absolutely. And if you have one dog and you are is a normal middle-class person who has a 9-to-5 job. You are not going to be traveling from Oregon to Arizona to Illinois and back again because you have a real life. This is their life, but ours is showing our own dogs in our region and how to conduct that system. Exactly how Rick said, you prepare yourself and you keep, for God's sakes, life is a journey. Dog showing is a journey. You don't get it today, you don't get it tomorrow, you may not get it next week. Persevere. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. It's a process. And during that time, you get to be better. And there is nothing more satisfying. I'm saying this, I'm playing three sides. Breeder, handler, professional handler, judge, and now just handling my own stuff. There's nothing more satisfying than knowing you have bred something that is really nice. It may not be where you want to go, but it's on that road. And you're beating a professional who has a nice dog, but you know as a breeder, it ain't half as good as yours, and you win. That is a huge thing, because a professional handler, potentially, has an edge on you, because they do it every day. That dog is potentially better trained than yours, because like our children, our own dogs always have a reason for not being quite on the edge. You know, he had a really bad love affair, and so he's just not doing quite as well at school. You know, his first, my dog, you know, oh, the judge went over, it was a little harsh. You know what? Pros don't have that. Their dogs do or don't do, and they just keep motoring on. We have the emotional reaction to the dogs that live with us. It's much easier for me, it was much easier for me to show somebody else's dog. Loved them, but they were no extension of my ego. They were an extension of my training, and they were going to be just right on, right? But our babies are really special. So that is one of the things that you have to recognize, that we feed into our dogs this whole thing about being special. You know, that's one of the things that happens. And my feeling is, as a professional handler, I kept a Rolodex. Most of you don't even know what that is anymore. And he didn't have computers. I had a Rolodex, and I kept a record of every dog that I showed under every judge and what the competition was. And that's why I kept catalogs and gave tear sheets to my clients, because the competition changed. And if the dog that I was showing took second in reserve under four different judges with four different competitions, maybe that dog should not be shown. I didn't want my client to spend that sort of money. But as an owner-handler, we have a huge advantage. Huge. And people in Europe recognize it. We don't recognize it because we're all about, right? It's a word these days, right? From our government on down. It's all about winning. What about spending time with the dog that you love, who is a good representation of the breed, and you get to go to a dog show and spend time with people who are as committed to your breed as you are, and who have a good time bringing their families and doing great things at a dog show. You have hot dogs, you do stuff, you hang out, you buy stuff you never need, but it's kind of cool. You know, seriously, it's better than golf, for God's sake. Nobody takes a golf club to bed at night. Right? So I think sometimes we've lost our way in thinking about dog shows. Instead of just judging, and I'm taking a lot of time, but I have to tell you, I judged in Sweden a number of years ago. I was judging the 50th anniversary of, or 25th, it was a huge deal, of a taller national stable club specialty. And so I'm very honored to do this. And this lady, who had to be 6'2", came into the ring with a dog that was about 14 inches. This dog, a toller. And you know, in Europe you have to write, and you have two secretaries, one who manages the ring and one who writes down the potential words of wisdom or not that flow from your lips. So I look at this and I am so frightened, because what am I going to say? This dog is not in the standard. But this woman has walked in with this dog and she's looking at it. And of course, as luck would have it, a beautifully trained dog. Square, everything is nice. I have her move, I go over, I have her move again. I want to move her again, but I know it's not going to get better. She's not going to grow legs. And so I walked into the secretary's tent and I said, I don't know what to do. Honestly, I said. And this one lady looked at me, she said, plus, just describe the dog. So I did. Nice head, nice ear set, beautiful top line. Now I'm getting to the legs. She's too short on the legs. It was like a great relief to say it. So I've done all this. The secretary holds up the insufficient, right? This card. Boom, boom. You know, I'm sucking it up. I hate it. And so now I have to tell the lady what I've written. And I said to her, Madam, you have a lovely little dog. And she smiled and she said, yes. And I said, I cannot give her a sufficient or a good or an excellent, because she is too small. And this darling 6'2", who now seems 7'5", baby, looks at me, she said, truly, just like she said, I know. And I thought to myself, well, for God's sake, of course she knows. She's 6'2". Thank you very much. She smiled at everybody at ringside and left. And I said, Mr. Stewart, please don't call in the next class. I have to sit down and reflect from this. You think I'm a flint. You don't think I did. And so I said, please tell me, why is this woman here with a dog that obviously has a disqualifying fault? And they said, God bless you. They said, she loves her dog. And I went, yes. And I said, in America, we would say, she loves her dog, get a show dog. Get a dog that would conform to this thing. And they said, she will never breed this. In Sweden, you couldn't breed it, right? And I said, so why doesn't... And I said, she loves to come to the show and just be with all the other taller people. It's a social event. And she's here all day. We've lost that. Lost it, and I would love, we will never get it that way, but I would love to think when we come closer to it. We have a day where we're sitting in the pub and looking at each other and say, you know what, I like that dog, I'd like to mate her to, mate him to my bitch, or he's nice and good rabbit, would not produce those genes, you know. We don't do that. It's all about winning. Life is not all about winning. The microcosm of life that we play in, which is called dodging, it's not all about winning, because that's why we're losing our sport. We should be inclusive. We would, and you have the dogs that have the design faults, tell them why, and when they're either add to the dog or when they're ready for a new dog, get a better dog, a dog that is closer to the standard.
The apartment taller. To answer your question, which
I did not.
Well, no. It was basically how to not get discouraged, right? So, first of all, usually when you get started in something, you don't have a lot of knowledge. So you have to be really honest and seek out people that will help you. You have to do your due diligence. You know, read it again and read it again. And something that Rick said earlier, we're so lucky now with with our pocket computer phone life organizers. You can grab someone and, you know, 10 minutes before you go in the ring and say, I'm going to move my dog down and back. Would you video me so I can see if, you know, if I have a dip on my top line, if I, whatever. You can take pictures of your dogs. You can have your friends take pictures of you in the ring. You can have your friends video you in the ring. Those are tools that, you know, 20 years ago we didn't have. Because even having someone move your dog for you isn't the same as what the dog looks like with you. So if you can have actually someone video you so that you're not only evaluating what your dog looks like, but what you look like. Because I know I'm always surprised when I see a video of me. I'm like, I put my arm up that? Or am I that not to be? I just, you know, I mean, there's things you don't realize until you see them. So be really honest about your dog. And sometimes you're not educated enough to make that decision. Everything is based on your emotion because you love your dog. So you feel like you're losing and you're feeling like someone's saying your dog is not worthy. And that's really not what they're saying. They're just, you're not ready. There are a lot of cases of people who get into dogs and have relatively instant success. They may luck into having a really good dog or a really showy dog. Those people don't generally last. The people that have to continually climb and work and sweat and toil to get it, those are the people that last. And they learn lessons through mistakes, through poor purchases that they have to either improve upon or decide to make the decision that this is not going to be part of my breeding program. The other thing is, as far as handlers go, I say this all the time. I don't know any handlers that aren't willing to help. I'm, for some reason, down and back. I think a lot of times people are intimidated by handlers. They really aren't that scary. So don't be afraid to introduce yourself. Again, don't be obnoxious. You know, don't stalk them. But
like, you can stalk Taffy. Everybody watches Taffy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so they're stalking and then they're stalking.
Well, you can observe, but I mean...
Yeah, okay, I show up at their house. Like, yeah. I've got a fan crush on you.
Okay. See? Well, the thing is, don't be afraid to become a part of the family. Because every handler would love to have an extra set of hands or somebody that can stay at the setup and watch dogs on the table.
Yes.
So when you become part of a family, then not only are you learning, but you also have people rooting for you and people that are going to help celebrate your successes. I love owner handlers. I love seeing people grow and succeed. I love seeing the pure joy that, you know, I wasn't happy to go second in the group tonight, but that man was so happy that it really took a lot of the sting out of it. So don't be afraid to ask questions. Make sure your questions are sincere. Don't just do lip service. Don't just try to talk to a handler or a master breeder. But don't be afraid to use, that's another resource for education. And I guarantee you, I really don't know any handlers that aren't more than happy to do that. Given the time constraints, I mean, you can't say, I know you have 20 dogs on right now, but could you show me how to start my dog? You have to work, you know, around them and around their job. And really, I don't know why more people don't do that, because there shouldn't be a them against us. It should be, we all love dogs. Nothing's better than a well-presented dog, in my opinion. I don't care who's showing it. If you see a dog that's in the peak of physical, mental, emotional training, whatever, there's just nothing better than seeing that. And I think that we all acknowledge that, we all celebrate it, and are happy to help anybody achieve that. But be realistic. You know, I would love to win the Kentucky Derby, but I'm not just going to go buy a horse and show up and go, how come those guys won? Okay? You know, you have to be realistic and realize that it's a journey. That you're going to have successes, you're going to have losses, you're going to have successes you deserve, and you're going to have successes that you maybe don't deserve, just as well as you'll have losses you deserve and losses that you don't deserve. And that's just the way it is. That happens with handlers, too. I mean, it may seem like a handler wins all the time, but they might show 20 dogs in a day and win with five of them.
Or two.
Or two. And those just happen to be the two that you saw or the two you're competing against. But we all have to juggle the ups and downs, and, you know, sometimes it's getting stuck behind a really good dog. And sometimes when, you know, you just have to go, you know what, close your eyes and think of England, because this is going to be over eventually. So just be realistic, and then choose your mentors, choose people that you would like to learn from, and figure out a way that you can help them or become part of their family. And then we'll all
sing kumbaya.
Sing kumbaya.
And it's not instant.
Yes, not instant. Okay.
It's not instant.
And that is a valid point.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our Dog Show Superintendents are the hardworking people who make the Dog Show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the Super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.